The words upon which I want to base our thinking at this opening meeting of this holiday week of the convention come in the 62nd Psalm and verse 5, and I read from the Authorized Version these words: My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. These words were given by God to those responsible for convening the very first Keswick Convention, the convention that very nearly never took place. And if it had not taken place, I wonder if there would have been any subsequent conventions. The reason was that several of the anticipated and the announced speakers failed at the last moment. And the problem that had arisen in the minds of those convening that first gathering, attended by some 600 folk, was, should they continue? Or should they just call it off and call it a day? And that came to them, this word from God: My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. And the truth that shone out was that the purpose underlying the convention was not that God's people should come together to hear preachers, but that they should come together to meet with God. And I believe that in the early days of the Keswick Convention, neither the congregation nor the speakers knew in advance who was to speak at any given meeting. Well, that might have been all right for the congregation. It must have been pretty tough on the speakers. And in every program, since those early days, as far as my knowledge goes back, it doesn't go back nearly 100 years, but only some 27 years now. Ever since then, this text has appeared: My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. And much as I like the RSV, I think I prefer the old rendering to the new. For God alone my soul waits in silence, for my hope is from Him. And so I want to base our thinking in this opening meeting upon this text, and in so doing to try and set before us all something of the character and content of such a week as we anticipate, something of the possibilities and purposes that I believe it is meant to hold for us all. Some of us have been before and have some sort of an idea, although I sometimes feel that the first time you come to Keswick, certainly in my experience, the first time I came, there was a good deal of froth. The second time, I think I knew a little bit better what I was letting myself in for. But it may be that there are some here, and you're here for the first time, and quite honestly, you're wondering, what on earth is this all about? What are we going to do with a whole week of meetings? Tough enough to go to church twice on Sunday. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if there's rather an unpleasant proportion of onces here on Sunday. But to go twice to church every day of the week, what on earth is all this about? Who thought of this kind of an idea? We would realize, if it was an evangelistic crusade, what we were to expect. If all these meetings were evangelistic, we would expect that the gospel would be preached, and we would trust that sinners would be converted, and that every gathering we would see those coming to repentance and faith in Christ. But these meetings are for Christians, and we come as Christians. What on earth do we need meetings for, going on day after day, twice a day, for a whole week? May God the Holy Spirit guide our thoughts then as we take this verse and turn it this way and that so that the divine light may flash from it into our hearts and upon our lives. My soul waits thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. I think if I were to sum up what this week is designed to mean, I'm just going to pick out three words out of that. It is that we should wait upon God, not listen to preachers, but to wait upon God. Now I want, if I may, to amplify that by turning to this verse again, and I want to suggest that here I find, first of all, that I am to wait upon God personally. How utterly personal, how intensely individual the psalmist is. He speaks of my soul, of my expectation. And earlier on in the psalm, it's been the same. My soul waiteth upon God. My salvation. He is my rock, my defense. I shall not. We are to wait upon God personally and individually. One of the favorite descriptions of Keswick in my younger days, I forget from whose lips it was that I heard it, but I heard it first when I attended the convention wearing a kilt. And I'm the only speaker that's ever spoken from this platform wearing a kilt. And that was because I was dragged onto the platform as an assistant scoutmaster at what they used to have in the old days when the convention ran over the 2 weekends, a testimony meeting, and I was asked to give a testimony, and I did it wearing my kilt. But it was right back then when I was sitting in the congregation that I heard somebody say that the convention really is to be likened to a spiritual clinic where those who have life but lack health come to bring their lives and their needs before the divine physician. Now, when you go to a clinic, or at least to most clinics, and indeed now to most doctors, there are 2 stages, and it's the second that really matters most. There is the time you spend in the waiting room, where you share that with others, and then there comes the time when your name is called, and you rise, and you go from the waiting room into the consulting room, and you are with the physician alone. I would submit, Christian friends, that this convention has to become the consulting room of the divine physician, when we wait upon him personally, individually, and alone. Are you prepared to think of these coming days as holding that for you? Not sitting in a congregation listening to a preacher, but suddenly shut in alone with your Lord. Well, when we're in the consulting room, there are 2 things that are involved. First, there are the admissions that I have to make. And that admission is to be a frank and a full admission of my need, as best as I can see it. There may be much that I do not know or understand, but there is much that I do know and I do understand. And the tragedy about so much Christian living is that we pretend so much. We pretend that we're much better Christians than we are. We allow ourselves to be carried along, sort of concealed within the warmth and depth of the fellowship of others. And all the time, we ourselves are spiritually, desperately sick. And we're putting a brave face on it and trying to carry it off. Well, when you and I get into the consulting room, we've got to be frank. We've got to be honest. And we've got to admit our need. That is why in a convention like Keswick, we begin by facing up to the realities and ramifications of failure in Christian experience, facing up to the fact of sin in the life of the believer, to the facts of life that are a denial of the faith we proclaim in a Savior whose name is Jesus, and whom we say shall save his people from their sins. But if there is to be on my side the admission that I will have to make, then from his side there is the attention he is sure to give. Well, most doctors, I trust, give it you. The divine physician certainly will. The attention he is sure to give. How differently and how desperately we all need his attention. This he has promised. You remember that wonderful word, draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. And one of the most real experiences that has been the experiences of God's people in this tent, year after year, has been the experience in which, in the midst of a vast congregation, we suddenly feel as if there's no one else here at all except Jesus, who's doing the talking, and ourselves. Probing, revealing, diagnosing, prescribing. Have you noticed how again and again in the great crowd scenes of the New Testament the focus suddenly narrows down to an individual? We read of the multitudes, and then we read the word, and behold a man, and behold a woman. Are you prepared for this to happen in these days, when you suddenly find that the focus of the light of God's truth and God's grace, God's mercy and God's love and God's will, the focus, the brilliant light of that is suddenly going to focus right upon you and isolate you from everybody else? I am to wait upon God personally. Then the second thing is that I believe that this scripture tells me that I am to wait upon God patiently. The very word wait has an undertone suggesting the need of patience and that there is a time factor involved. In Psalm 40, this word patiently is added to the word wait. I waited patiently for the Lord. In what way does the time factor play its part in the experience of a convention such as this? Why do we take a whole week for it? Well, I believe it will take time, first of all, for the silence to fall. Now, here we take up from the Revised Standard Version and the NEB the phrase silence. We are to wait in silence. Time for the silence to fall. What do we mean by that? I think, first of all, silence has to fall because we have so much we want to say. We want to excuse ourselves. We want to condone our behavior. We want to put the blame upon other people, upon the circumstances of our life. I'm sure that one of the biggest problems the doctor has with some patients is for them to get to the end of all that they have to say to him before he can begin to say anything to them. We are to wait in silence. I wonder how long that is going to take for some of us. I wonder when your life and mine is brought into the light of the standard of God's truth, God's will, God's promises, God's provision. I wonder how long it's going to take some of us to come to the point where we stop talking, when we stop making excuses, when we stop condoning things. Time for silence to fall because of how much we have to say, and sometimes time for the silence to fall because of how much others have to say. I wonder whether there are some folk here and your life is all tangled up spiritually because you've been listening to other people and you have not been listening to God. There are so many other voices, friends, workmates, voices on the television, and you've been listening to them, and that has justified you in going along a certain line. You haven't been listening to God. You haven't been listening to Jesus Christ. "This is my beloved Son," said the voice from heaven. "Hear ye him." And I wonder whether for some the way out, the way through, the way of release is going to come when you're going to be quiet enough to listen to what he has to say and not to what others. Time for the silence to fall. Time for the Savior to search. I have a very kind and very thorough Christian doctor. I think possibly the only weakness one could say, and yet it's his strength maybe, is that when he's dealing with one patient, he seems to forget that he's got about another 12 waiting. The reason is he's so absolutely thorough. You go in thinking you've got some little thing the matter. Before you know where you are, he's just given you a thorough doing over from the top of your head to the sole of your feet. Time for the Savior to search. So often we want him to deal with some one thing that is troublesome, that we find inconvenient and bothersome. But when we are in his hands, he wants to deal with us all. I think it was C.S. Lewis who said that when he had toothache, he knew that if he asked his mother, she would give him an aspirin. But he never asked his mother for the aspirin, because he knew that if he asked her for an aspirin, she would phone the dentist, and he would have very different plans than just an aspirin to take away the discomfort of toothache. He would want to go right through his whole mouth and leave his mouth in perfect trim. If it meant extractions, extractions there would be. If it meant fillings, there would be fillings. But the dentist wouldn't be satisfied with an aspirin. And neither is Jesus Christ. Time for the Savior to search. I wonder whether we are really prepared to give the divine physician the time he needs and that we need for him to check over our lives, our home life, our business life, our life in relationship to other Christians, our life and its responsibilities to the unconverted, the use we make of our time, the way we spend our money. Are we prepared to give the Savior time to search? So often the thing that bothers us is just the symptom of something very much more deeply rooted. And we are to wait patiently until we stop talking and the silence falls. Patiently until no area of our life has been left unchecked. All this is almost impossible in the rush and hurry of the lives that most of us live. We just couldn't do it at home. We can do it here. I think it was Dr. Paul Rees I heard telling of a pastor who stopped preaching for 3 months. And his friends asked him, "Why have you stopped preaching for 3 months? His reply was, "I'm going to have my judgment day now. while I can do something about it. Some of you may remember that some years ago at the opening meeting at the main convention, I spoke on living under the constant judgment of love. And I want us to hold to that. Let us not shrink from the searching of what one of our hymn writers calls that unutterable love. I am to wait upon God personally. I am to wait upon God patiently. And I am to wait upon God purposefully. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. My expectation. I think there's a little bit more bite to that than the word hope. I know that hope in the Christian sense is quite different from the word hope as we use it. We talk about hoping without any assurance that we're going to get. Christian hope is always based upon an assurance that what we hope for, God will give. But the word expectancy seems to be have a bit more cutting edge about it. My expectation is from Him. And so I am to wait upon God purposefully. What does this mean? It means that I will be ready for the disclosures that He will make. The disclosures of malady, the disclosures of remedy. How desperately some of us need somehow, some way, to be shown what it is that is lacking in our lives. There are so many Christians and really, you would hardly miss them were they to die. Apart from the fact that they're occupying a place in the church and sitting in a pew, nobody would really miss them. They wouldn't be missed where they work because they cut no ice. They would scarcely be missed in their homes. And the pastor would hardly miss them were they to go. And this in spite of all the promises of God. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is coming. From within, out of your inner being, shall flow rivers of living water. Rivers! Some Christians are like dripping taps. And they don't drip very much or very often. Just occasionally. A wee drip. And that's all. And Jesus said, rivers! Disclosures of malady and of remedy. And it's so important to recall that it is to Him that we look, not to speakers, but to the Lord. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. Here in the tent. And you know, I found it rather strange, but very often true, that God speaks to me through the speaker I don't like. Have you found that? You know, there's a certain speaker, maybe you feel drawn to him, and you say, well, that's great, God will speak to me, and so I wish he wasn't speaking. But in my experience, if anything to go by, God more often speaks to me through a speaker I don't like, and there are some I'm not so sure about, as far as my own personality and my rapport with them is concerned. But God breaks through people like that. In this tent, in the quiet of your home or hotel or tent, maybe at the lakeside, look beyond speakers to Him, for the disclosures He will make of malady and of remedy. He will have something quite, quite different to say to you than He will say to me or to anybody else. But I can't believe that he hasn't got something to say. Can you? I can't imagine any greater tragedy than to come to Keswick and go away exactly the same as you came, to be exactly the same kind of Christian. Surely there's more to what God can do than what you know and I know. The disclosures that he will make, and the other reason that I'm going to wait upon him purposefully, is not simply because I want to learn of the disclosures that he will make, but because I want to know of the decisions that he will ask. Evan Hopkins, who spoke at this platform year after year after year, had a very telling little phrase which always lingers in my mind when I think of the opening meeting of a convention like this. He used to say, "A conference is a time for discussion. A convention is a time for decision." And I want to submit to you that if this week is not going to be a waste of your time and God's time, then there are going to be decisions that you are going to have to make as a Christian, and that I will have to make as a Christian. Decisions. We're not done with decisions when we decide for Christ. It may be that there's a decision to accept his diagnosis. It may be a decision to apply his remedy. It may be a decision to forsake something in your life that is inconsistent with the character of God. And God's word to you is, drop it. Repent. We're not done with repentance when we come to Christ. It may be there's something, some area in which you've got to decide to trust him. You've been carrying the load yourself. It's been breaking you. And you've got to trust him. Maybe a decision to obey him. It may be there's something he's asking you to do, somewhere he's asking you to go. And you've got to say, yes, I'm ready, I'm willing, I'll do it, I'll go there. It may be a decision that you're going to allow the Holy Spirit to be in you all that he wants to be, and do in you all that he wants to do. A decision that he will ask. This isn't a picnic. This is a clinic. Reverend W.H. Aldous was chairing a convention in Leicester, my memory is right, in which I was speaking many years ago with Noel Palmer, whom I saw just the other day for the first time since then. I think some of his friends will know him as Tiny Palmer. That's just because he's the reverse of tiny. One of the few men that I find I have to look up to whenever I meet him. He's very tall. He was there, I remember that. But at that convention, Mr. Aldous had received a cable from China, where they were having a convention. And I've never forgotten his quote from that cable. Sent a message from these Christians in which they said, "We are praying not that we might be better Christians, but that we might be well Christians." Not better, but well. And I believe that God's purpose is that we should go away from this convention in the grace of God and by virtue of the indwelling Christ and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in all his fullness, that we should go away from here fighting fit spiritually. Are you fighting fit? My soul, wait thou only upon God. For my expectation is from Him. So I will wait upon God personally. Out of the waiting room into the consulting room. I will wait upon Him patiently. For the silence to fall in my own heart. And for the Savior to search. To give me a real going over. And I will wait upon my God purposefully, ready for the disclosures that He will make, and willing for the decisions that He will ask. Why are we here? For one reason only. And that is to wait upon God. His voice to hear. His face to see. His touch to feel. His will to do. Is that your purpose? If it isn't, then may it become your purpose tonight. From the very beginning, we are here to wait upon God.